Today's specials are brought to you by Fancy Feast. From impeccable pâtés to silky broths to chef-inspired creations, a memorable mealtime experience is always on the menu for your cat. Learn more at fancyfeast.com.
LeBron no longer a groomsman in the Love Bach nuptials. Puckett with the bucket to save the Volunteers. And they are not doing fine in Oklahoma, where the end comes thanks to Notre Dame. And break out your rulers. We're talking hand size again. Let's go.
Big old. Let's go. There we go.
It's a pencil, but it's close. I'll give you credit.
Small hands.
Guys with big hands also have big gloves.
38 points, 12 assists, 11 rebounds, and one miracle of unaided human flight for LeBron James last night as he led the Lakers to a win over Cleveland. Lakers won 2 of 3 to close out their road trip, but they still sit at number 9 in the West. After the game, LeBron said, quote, "I'm literally having the time of my life right now," unquote. He's never felt this way before, and he swears it's the truth. He's the first 37-year-old to have a 30-point triple-double in NBA history. He's leading the league in scoring with 30 points per game. Clinton, is it okay to have the time of your life when your team is hanging on to a play-in spot?
It's always okay to have the time of your life, but the reason why I think this is honest is because let's just look at the facts. LeBron James has been to the finals more times than he's not in his career. Typically, when we're getting to this point of the season, he's just now locking in as to what's going to happen in the NBA playoffs with whoever he's trying to lead to the title. Now, that's all out the window. He's got somebody else to blame on the team as far as some people are concerned in Russell Westbrook. He's not worried about what they're going to do. This team shouldn't even be in the play-in, by the way. They need to change those rules. And he's the best player on the team. I completely understand how for him, burden-free, this is a new experience, and he's got his own accolades to go with. It's LeBron James time right now.
Okay, Tim, I could buy that a little bit burden-free, a little bit less stress, but what about the expectations that are always still going to be there for LeBron? Can he really be having the time of his life at number 9?
Yeah, that's what I got a question. I mean, just to make sure I understand, he took his talents to South Beach, went to 4 straight finals, won back-to-back championships, but being 9th in the West and leading kind of a no-name team, that's the time of his life. That's like the time of my life is going to Showdown with Sarah Spain. That's the same kind of comparison. I think what he is doing is still crazy that he's doing it in year 19 and coming up with triple doubles. I don't think it's the time of his life.
Isola, which side do you fall on?
You know, a month ago he was at the All-Star game and he said some things that upset Laker management, upset Laker Nation. So I think he said, let me get out of here with 2 wins. One on the scoreboard, let me say all the right things, and nobody will talk about my visit to Cleveland. There's no way in the world that he could be having the time of his life when he's 10 games under 500. No great all-time player. Michael Jordan's not saying that. Magic, Bird, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, no one's saying that. There's no way that a player at his, we judge him on how he does in the postseason. No chance. And oh, by the way, you mentioned the play-in tournament, Sarah. He wants the guy fired that came up with the play-in tournament, remember? And that's what he's destined to be.
Not completing this
year. He's not having this.
Haven't heard a word about it this year now that he's going to benefit.
Exactly.
Emily, is it fair to not allow him to have the time of his life if he somehow has the perspective to do so?
Sarah, I'm so glad I get to follow Frank here because I think that we sometimes forget sports are a game. Games are inherently fun. Yeah. How can we be questioning a guy who says, I'm having a blast out there. I'm putting up absurd numbers. I'm chasing history. I mean, this is a guy that is leading the league in average points as the oldest guy to ever do it by 4 years. Posterizing and dunking on Kevin Love and then all of that social media back and forth afterwards, that's fun. And all season, honestly, we've been just talking about how miserable the Lakers are and how much they're sucking. What do we want to do? Quit? To stop playing? We hate quitters. So I love the fact that an athlete is just appreciating the stage that he's on, doing the best he can, and I think that's a lesson for all of us.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Emily Clinton, before the horn.
Yeah, there's precedence for this. That iconic image of LeBron in his pool saying, I can't believe this is my life. That happened after they lost in the finals.
Ah, good point. I'm still Team Jordan. I'm not happy unless
winning is fun. Yeah.
Moving on.
Sarah, Michael Jordan's going to be happy having the time of his life one game under 500?
I don't buy it.
This is 10. No chance.
Well,
no,
and that's why he's the GOAT. A couple quarterback questions were settled yesterday with Matt Ryan heading to the Colts in a trade, the Falcons inking Marcus Mariota, and the Saints re-signing Jameis Winston. Still up in the air, though, the futures of Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo, and fewer starting jobs available. Tim, what do you make of the remaining available QBs and where they might wind up? Also, any chance Baker is out a starting seat in this game of musical chairs?
I think he's starting to think about that, especially after he sent the nice goodbye note to all the fans, which seemed like a good idea at the time right. when Deshaun Watson was coming to town. I don't know that Houston still couldn't be in play. I know initially Houston wanted to get all the picks they could from Cleveland, but maybe now, we'll send you back a 3 and take Baker off your hands for a year. But other than that, in Seattle, there's not much out there for him.
Frank?
Yeah, I love the move for Matt Ryan. I think that's terrific, him going to the Colts with Frank Reich. But here's my thing about Baker Mayfield and also Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's remember, they have won playoff games. Jimmy Garoppolo has been to 2 conference championship games. He's been to the Super Bowl. I do think there is value. But if I was going to trade for Baker Mayfield, what am I going to give up to the Cleveland Browns? They're in a position where they have to move on from him. They already have their starting quarterback. So I think it's tough for both of them. They're going to be starting somewhere next year, but right now it's a bit of a mess for both of them.
And I don't think any of us sees Baker backing up Matt Ryan happily in a situation that would feel good over at the Browns. Emily, what about you?
I just feel like Baker Mayfield is in this precarious situation because he's not good enough where teams are like, I need him to lead our team and he's going to lead us to the playoffs. But he's too good where there's teams that want to tank because this year's quarterback class is not as good as next year's quarterback class. And they're like, he actually might get us too many wins and we don't want him either. So I think what he's destined to do is do where all top quarterbacks go to fail, which is that graduate year that James Winston famously said, Mitch Trubisky did it, Marcus Mariota did it, where you sit behind a guy, you learn from him, and then you get to take the reins again. And it's unfortunate for Baker, though, because he played through so many injuries and gutted it out last year, and that's where he finds himself in, but it's just the climate right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, Emily. We've seen guys surpass Baker in expectation just by doing absolutely nothing, like Mitch Trubisky. Clinton, is that what we're looking at here for some of these guys?
I don't think so, because he's in a contract year, and I also think the injury part is much bigger in this than a lot of people are willing to admit. The whole reason why the things got messed up with the negotiations with the Browns is that they weren't willing to just say, shut it down, you're our guy, you're hurt. If I'm another team, I think I don't want Baker because I don't know if he can actually get on the field, which is why I think he's the one who's left out in this musical chairs-wise. The physicality component there makes him much more of a risk than those other guys on the talent standpoint.
All right, Tim, before the horn, point blank, what is the best spot for Baker to end up?
The best spot is Seattle, where he can show once and for all whether he can get the ball to first-class receivers or he can't.
That's a great point. All right, moving on. We had a thrilling second round in the women's NCAA tournament. It's got some folks burning their brackets, though. Others feeling pretty good about projected winners. Number one seed Stanford is hot, winning its 2 games by an average of 33.5 points, while overall number one South Carolina has played stifling D, allowing 54 total points through 2 rounds. But they look a little limp on offense. Frank, after 2 rounds of play, who is your overall number one seed now?
It's right there on the screen for you. It's still South Carolina. It's their tournament to win. But give Belmont a lot of credit to be in Knoxville and to be that close. If they had made their free throws down the stretch, there's a good chance they win the game. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Princeton. To me, the biggest disappointment, though, it's got to be Iowa. They're at home. You have Caitlin Clark had a terrible second half. That Creighton team, they're a good team. It's not a great team. And we wanted to all see that Iowa-South Carolina matchup. Now we're not going to get it.
Well, that was a lot of answers to not the question that I asked, but thank you for starting with one line about the question. Emily, can we get back to what I was looking for, which is who's your overall number one seed now?
You know, I don't think there's an overall number one seed. And sorry, if you want to mute me, do it. I just feel like it's wide open. So I look at a team like Indiana, who has a matchup against Connecticut, who looks really shaky this weekend. I'm like, they can do it. And what I love about Indiana is they have an average of more than 4 years of college experience in their starters. 21 years of college experience amongst their starting 5. Like, that's the type of team that can grind it out in a year where it's wide open.
All right, Emily wants to talk Team Van Wilder. Clinton, how about you? You got a number one?
I still think it's South Carolina. That defense is something that plays better in neutral sites than it does necessarily, I think, against other teams. But, Frank, how are you talking about that Creighton-Iowa matchup like anything went wrong? That Lauren Jensen story is nuts. She transfers from Iowa back to that school, Creighton, and then beats them on their home floor in the loudest match so far of the tournament.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, these are great points, none of which have anything to do with the question that I asked Tim Cowlishaw. Do you have a favorite?
Yes, I
Thank
do,
you.
And it's a team nobody's discussed, and it's the greatest women's team of all time. Connecticut is a 2 seed. No, they didn't play well last night, but they won, and Paige Beckers played 32 minutes, which is the most she's played in a long time. She'll be healthy by the time they get to next weekend. I would watch out for them.
Interesting. No one picking Stanford. Back in, Clinton.
No, I was just going to say that Dawn Staley is the leadership, the real leadership component of that team in South Carolina that I have the most faith in when it comes
absolutely.
To getting to these points of the tournament.
Yeah, I completely agree. South Carolina is still a faith despite the offense looking a little bit rough. On the way out, I want to ask you about some underdoggies. Who's got the best chance to advance? St. Peter's Peacocks or the men on the men's side, or the South Dakota Coyotes in the women? Yell it out. Who you got?
Peacocks. My buddy lives in Jersey City.
All right. I hear
Fear the Peacocks.
I hear Peacocks.
Purdue, no, I don't like Purdue, but they're going to be too tough.
Thank you.
Purdue's too tough.
Enthusiasm is overpowering on both sides. There's your horn. There's your break. Coming back by yourself.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
After the Nets win over the Jazz last night, Kevin Durant looked ahead to a showdown with the Grizzlies Wednesday by heaping praise on Memphis star Ja Morant. Quote, when you got a future Hall of Famer at the head of the snake, it just makes everybody better. Durant said he sees some Iverson, Jordan, Westbrook, and Rose in Morant's game. Clinton, a little too early to put a jacket on Ja like that?
I don't think so. I think what he's mainly referring to is the fact that Ja has a drive to play that is different than a lot of people think in terms of who he is as a leader. And I think that's mainly what he's tapping into. He's saying, this dude really wants it. I remember back when I wrote a story about him, his dad said that when he was a kid, he was one of the only kids he saw that would actually take the different skill sets of the players in the game and make sure he used them correctly. The dude is a student of the game, and I think that's something that a lot of other players pick up on.
All right, Tim, student of the game, enough to say he'll make it there?
Well, I mean, I think he's on trajectory to do it, but he's way too early in his career. But it's okay for Kevin Durant to do that. I mean, when he's given praise to a young player, it carries a lot of weight. This is a guy who's 6'3", and he leads the NBA in points in the paint. That is just kind of an absurd stat that he is able to pull off at this point.
Isola, obviously a talented guy, obviously a bright future. Are you ready to
Me?
Be cool with the Hall of Fame assignments already?
Well, why don't we do this, Sarah? Let's wait until he wins one playoff series before we decide that he's a Hall of Famer. Like
Such
Tim said,
hater.
He's on that path. You know who he reminds me of a little bit? Kevin Durant. Number two overall pick, the guy taken ahead of him in the case of Kevin Durant was Greg Oden. Career, you know, disrupted because of injury. And right now, Ja Morant, the second pick after Zion Williamson, whose career has been now, you know, interrupted yet again because of injury. But here's the other thing, and Clinton's going to love this. I love Ja Morant. They're 14-2 without him. So they got a good team, but
Clinton, your name was invoked. Do you love that?
Yeah, I love it. You know why? Because it shows he's a leader and they stayed
right.
in the fight when he wasn't playing. How about that?
Okay.
Emily, what do you make of Kevin Durant, what he had to say?
I make of it to be a hilarious quote because it begins with him saying, like, you know, I don't want to gas him up because we're playing him tomorrow, but here are the four guys that are amazing and he reminds me of, and he's so fantastic. So honestly, whoever's putting on that game, I think it's on ESPN, should be paying Kevin Durant because he did good PR for it, and now I want to tune in.
Yeah, you guys all cool with Kevin Durant gassing him up, pumping his tires?
Yes. Always.
Okay, a little reverse psychology. You're so good. Watch me beat you. All right, let's move on. NHL trade deadline has come and gone. 33 trades involving 54 players just yesterday. Nearly every top contender made at least one meaningful move, including the Wild acquiring goalie Marc-Andre Fleury and the Panthers grabbing center Claude Giroux. Emily, this is your account. Which team improved the most at the deadline?
You know, the reason the Tampa Bay Lightning's won the two straight Stanley Cups that are going for a third is because they're playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. Their GM, Julien Brisebois, will be like, oh no, I have no cap space, I can't get something done. And then maneuvers two players that are perfect cultural fits, play hard, fit in the identity, just plug and play, the best being Brandon Hagel. And everyone's like, oh, he might have given up too much. No, the price doesn't matter when you find a guy that's perfect for your team, that's under contract for $1.5 million for the next 3 years. And as I say in Tampa Bay, they'll take parades over picks, and they've got a lot more parades than they have top draft picks right now.
That's right. Frank, what do you think? After the deadline, who got better?
Emily, I'm surprised, Emily, you didn't mention the Rangers. Think about what they did with Andrew Kopp. Hang on a second. Tyler Mott. This is an organization that had $32 million in cap space. Years ago, they would go out and get guys like Pavel Bure, Theo Fleury. They're doing it the right way. They're rebuilding. And the Rangers have been one of the surprise teams this year, believe it or not.
Wow, believe it or not, Frank chose the Rangers. Kalashaw, who you got?
I think a lot of the rich got richer over the weekend, and that includes the Colorado Avalanche. They didn't get as big of names as other people, but they got key guys. Josh Manson on defense, some depth at forward. They already have all the scoring in the world. They've had 2 years of big playoff disappointments. Colorado's got to do something this year. I think they set the stage for that at the deadline.
Woody Page over here.
You guys are getting points based on how many times Emily nods at what you say. Clinton Yates.
They've been good points.
Everyone's doing well, according to Emily, and then me by default. Clinton Yates, who do you think got the best after yesterday?
I think it's the Wild, not just because of Fleury, but they picked up four other skaters, and D'Lo scored last night in his debut. And on top of that, Cam Talbot, who Fleury's going to be behind, pitches a shutout at home. I mean, look, if the immediate results happen right there, you got to say your team's got better. I think that kid's going to have a lot of confidence going into the playoffs.
I like it. Emily did not nod a lot on that
did
one. Emily.
Nope.
He missed the best point, though. The best point about the Wild is that they're going to be in cap hell starting next year, so you have to go for it this year with Marc-Andre Fleury.
There you go. Okay, Emily, did you have a loser at the deadline?
I did, and it's a player, and I feel so bad for this guy, but Evgeny Dadonov, this is such a weird situation. He was traded from the Senators to the Vegas Golden Knights, and then the Vegas Golden Knights tried to trade him to the Ducks in this cap dump because they need a care cap space because they've been sucking lately. However, and they need to get guys off LTIR, they didn't do this clerical error where he had a no-team trade list, and he said he didn't want to go to the Ducks, and the Vegas didn't account for that. Ottawa didn't account for it. And now this poor guy, the trade's going to be voided, and he's going back to the Vegas Golden Knights who don't want him, and I just really feel sorry. That's such an awkward situation to be in.
Incredibly awkward. You got to read that paperwork.
Oh, the feeling.
All right, let's get to some golf. For the first time since 94, three-time Masters champion Phil Mickelson will not compete at Augusta. His absence comes as he's embroiled in scandal over comments that he made about his role in kickstarting a breakaway league being financed by Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. Now, Mickelson last played in February at the Saudi International, and he tied for 18th. Then he skipped his usual stops at the Arnold Palmer and the Players. Tim, no pimento cheese sandwich for Phil this year. You buy or sell this as a big deal or no deal?
Oh, I'm buying it as a big deal. As the only panelist here who was at Augusta when he won his first green jacket, I think I know what it meant for him and what it meant for those fans. I've been okay with all his sponsors abandoning him for all the stupid things he said and tried to do, but this feels a lot more like a suspension, whether it's from the PGA Tour or just the Masters telling him not to come. I think it's more likely the Tour. And the Tour can do that, and nobody really holds them accountable for it. I think they need to speak out if they're really the ones not letting him play.
Yeah, right now the PGA doesn't announce it when someone's suspended. A lot of talk about that going around. Clinton, what do you make of no Phil at the Masters?
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't announce it, though, I think ultimately this is probably the right thing for them. I mean, the problem here is not just what he tried to do or what he said. It's just that in general, Phil was way out of his depth on this topic. And so when he tried to apologize about it, it didn't make things any better. And you found yourself looking at him like, Phil, enough. This is not what you know and not what you do. Whether or not it's the players that are getting on him, the fans that might like him or not, or whether or not it's the league suspending him, he's not the person you want being out front on your tour right now for obvious reasons. And I'm glad he's sitting down.
Emily, suspension or not, do you make a big deal out of his absence?
I actually don't, because it's so apparent that he's just taking a pause from golf right now, right? Like, he also qualified for the Players. He wasn't there. And so whether this pause is self-imposed or a suspension like Tim, you know, inferred, the point is he just needs to step away because he's in the mess, whatever reason it is. And so let's just focus on the guys that are there. Like, let's let him be. He made his mess. Let's focus on this new generation of golfers who are competing in this event, and we'll deal with Phil when he comes back.
Frank, I could certainly see that perspective, focus on who is playing, but it's also worth addressing when one of the top players who's won three times isn't there.
100%. Emily, come on now. You think the TV partners, they want him there. We know the media and the fans want him there. But guess what? This has been a long time coming for Phil Mickelson. You know, some of the insider trading stuff, getting his golf ball when it was rolling on the putting green. Remember when he did that and was still going? You know, to me, this has been a long time coming for Phil Mickelson to get a little slap on the wrist.
Tim, before we get out here, do you think we're going to see him at all in the upcoming tournament?
I have to think he won the PGA last year. That's coming up in 2 months. I got to think he's going to be want to defend his championship and be allowed to. So that would be my guess.
Wow, look at these scores. 1 point.
Generous,
separating
Sarah.
Tim Kalishaw from the promised land.
Nod your head,
land.
Emily. It's not good.
But if I'm not there to beat you in showdown, is it really worth being there, Tim?
Yes,
it's Emily.
Right.
It's Clinton coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
2-2 all time between Clint and Emily. The pivotal game 5 in the series now. Sixers beat the Heat with no James Harden and no Joel Embiid last night. Miami still ahead of the Sixers and the Bucks for the top spot in the East by 2.5 games with only 10 games remaining. But they're just 6-4 in the last 10. Maybe just a case of jockeying for playoff position, maybe a real concern. Or maybe, as head coach Eric Spoelstra called it, an anomaly. How did you read last night's result, Clinton?
I read this as the Sixers having won the trade and the breakup. They're going out more. They're dressing less. They're posting more. Even their side pieces are getting it done big time in front of major opponents. We love the depth of this Sixers team.
Emily.
Yeah, well, I read into those side pieces because Tyrese Maxey was legit last night. That was I didn't know the kid before. Now I know him kind of performance. Also, they really picked on Tyler Hero with 9 of 12 shooting against him in the fourth quarter. Not a great night for him.
All right. Side pieces means a point for both of you. If you believe the tale of the tape, Kenny Pickett's much-discussed hands grew 1/8 of an inch from his official combine measurement to his pro day, 8 5/8 inches for the Pitt quarterback as of yesterday. At this rate, he may get to 9 inches by midseason. Emily, you trust in this measurement, and is it the size that matters or the motion of the throtion?
All I know is for the rest of this kid's life, he's going to tell everyone that his hands are 8 5/8 inches, because what doctor once told me, I was 5'2 3/4", and I honestly tell that to every single person. Even the DMV, they were not as amused.
Clinton.
He's taking this way too seriously. I need more jokes. Give me those mini Tabasco bottles with your big hands so you can play a joke, or give me those big tennis balls that are the size of soccer balls so you can tell people you're confused and don't know what's going on. Yeah, okay. Lean into this, bro. It's not that serious.
He did say the stretching must be working, but I agree with you, Clinton. A little bit more fun with this. By the way, happy birthday and 100 wins for Clinton Yates.
Thank you very much. 20 years ago, I bum-rushed the radio studio of Tony Kornheiser, telling him that I wanted to be a sports writer. He invited me down to Atlantic Video, which was then where they used to tape this show as well as PTI. All this time later, after I worked at all these places doing all these things and making all these friends with all these people, Eric Rideholm and everybody who does this production, thank you for letting me be a part of it. Happy birthday to me. This is the best gift ever.
Aw, that is very cute. What are the plans? Are we all invited? Are we? Is everybody in? Are we
I'm
all
going
in?
To the beach. The same thing I do every day.
We're on a 23 and a half hour break. We'll see if we're hungover tomorrow.